Open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. We remain standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Heavenly Father, enthroned in the third heaven, you are indeed worthy to receive honor, glory, thanksgiving, praise, majesty. Holy Spirit, you as well are there, and you are in all who believe upon Jesus for salvation today. And Lord Jesus, you ascended at the right hand of your Father, are there. And so, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we worship you today. And we thank you for the great knowledge and joy of heaven. Help us now as we look into these things of your word, and we pray in the name of the risen and ascended Jesus. Amen. One of the greatest things we can ever know is that believers go to heaven when they die. Knowing God, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, those are great things to know. And among those great things is our destiny. This is important to me. I trust it's important to you. It's important to me because the content of what's in this message today is what got me started preaching years ago, that people can know that they are going to heaven. We're continuing our series. We've dealt with the future of the human soul, the intermediate state, the various places of the dead. We will continue in weeks to come on bodily resurrections, coming judgments, and the eternal state. But this morning, we're asking and answering seven questions about the places of the dead today and how that relates to each one of us. So, let's jump into it. The first of these seven questions is where we must start. It is, where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus now? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that he is seated at the Father's right hand in heaven. In heavenly places. That's where he is. Hebrews 6, 19 and 20 tell us that he has entered within the veil. He's entered as a forerunner for us. That he is, he's entered into heaven. And believers are anchored to him there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, his Father, for us. That is, Jesus is now in heaven for you as a believer. Okay, that's very important. Jesus' incarnation, he is the God-man. God who became man in the flesh, lived a sinless life, and with a sinless life fulfilled all of the requirements of the law. He died a substitutionary death in your place and for your sins, that is the shedding of his blood and his death on the cross, are at the very heart of the gospel. He rose from the dead physically, bodily, and ascended. These truths, which are the essential truths of the gospel, are the basis for salvation. So listen, if there is not a resurrected, ascended man in heaven, then there is no salvation. If there is not a resurrected, ascended man in heaven now, then no one is going there. But there is. Jesus, the resurrected, ascended man in heaven at the right hand of his Father. He is there. And that is the basis of salvation. He accomplished that. So where is Jesus now? He is in the third heaven with his Father. Question number two. Where is paradise now? And you'll remember we've been looking at a chart these last couple weeks. And so you have paradise, which was in Abraham's bosom, that compartment of Sheol. Paradise was originally the Garden of Eden. The word paradise means a royal park or garden, and Eden was where God walked with Adam. Paradise is where God and man dwell together. After sin entered, paradise took its location in Sheol with Abraham's bosom. At the ascension of Jesus, Jesus took paradise with him to the third heaven, where he is. And so paradise is now there in the third heaven. That's review for us this morning. But 2 Corinthians 12 verses 2 and 4 are very important verses on this. 2 Corinthians 12:2 and 12:4 teach us that paradise is now in the third heaven. Caught up to the third heaven, caught up into paradise. The third heaven, what we call heaven, and paradise are the same location right now. Paradise was taken there, Ephesians 4:8, when Jesus ascended. So, Jesus is in heaven now. Paradise is in heaven now. Question number three. Where do believers of the present age go when they physically die? Now, we saw the pattern last time, and we've been investigating this for weeks now. When a believer dies, the physical, dead, physical, mortal body goes in the ground or wherever it is, in the ground, but the conscious soul in the intermediate state is what we're talking about now. The believer, where does he go when he dies upon physical death? Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, we've looked at it a number of times. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where do believers go? They are present with Jesus. Absent from the body, present or at home with the Lord. Okay, now, where is the Lord? He's in heaven. So what does it mean to be present or at home with the Lord? It means to be in heaven. Philippians 1, 21 through 23. The desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. To be with Christ, that's where Paul said he would be upon physical death. With Christ. And Christ is where? In heaven. That means in heaven. Believers upon death are present with Jesus, and believers upon death are in paradise, the royal garden where God and man dwell together. Luke 23:43, Jesus said to the former thief on the cross next to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." By the way, that has always been true of believers from the very beginning. When a believer dies, the soul in the intermediate state goes to paradise. That was true in the Old Testament as well. It's just the location of paradise has now changed. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Jesus said, "To him who overcomes." Now the word overcomes is equal to the statement has believed. 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is the one who overcomes the world? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." The believer is the overcomer. The overcomer isn't somebody who has won some battle. The overcomer is the one who has believed and entered into the victory that was won by Jesus in his resurrection. So the believer is granted the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, which is now where? In the third heaven. So, where do believers of the present age go when they physically die? They go to heaven. Because that's where Jesus is. That's where paradise is. And that's where they go. Question number 4. What are the characteristics of paradise? Now, what are the characteristics of heaven? Now, And we do have three eyewitness accounts in our Bibles. And I mentioned to you in previous weeks, do take the biblical eyewitness accounts of heaven, not the supposed ones that you read about in other books or see in the movies or whatever. Because you don't know if those are true, and they are very likely not, and they are certainly fabricated. So, according to Paul, and we can see this in 2 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7, according to Paul, this is wonderfully inexpressible. There's surpassing greatness of these revelations about heaven. It's inexpressible. Paul wasn't even permitted to talk about what he saw there. There's so much more than what he reveals. And we saw in Philippians 1:23, it is very much better. Very much better. You know, people so flippantly, casually say things like, you know, usually at funerals or whatever, they say things like, well, he's in a much better place. Well, first of all, that's only true for saved people. And secondly, it is very much better. It is far better. It is indescribably better. In Hebrews chapter 12, which we read for our scripture reading today, we see that this is referred to as the heavenly Mount Zion and the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. It is, in Hebrews 12:22, the city of the living God. This is where the living God dwells. In heaven there is life. There is no death in heaven. There is life. It is the city of the living God. Hebrews 12:22, there are myriads of angels. Thousands of thousands of angels. So, in heaven, you will see angels. By the way, there's no mention of them hanging out on clouds or floating around or whatever. They are very real and very active. Hebrews 12:23, the assembly of the firstborn. Firstborn refers to the new birth, being born again. That is, we could say, the assembly of the saved, the spirits of righteous, of the righteous made perfect. That is, saved people are there in the third heaven. Saved people are there, and they have been made complete or perfect. So the question is asked, well, can people still sin in their intermediate state bodies? And the answer is, unsaved people can, but saved people cannot, because there's no sin in heaven. It's not there. They have been made perfect, so they don't sin. Hebrews 12:23, it's called heaven. They are enrolled in heaven. Hebrews 12:23, God the Father is there. God the judge of all. He is there. Hebrews 12:24, Jesus is there, the mediator of the new covenant. And heaven itself is cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The sprinkled blood is there. Say, why would heaven need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus? And that's a whole different question this morning. But according to Hebrews, it is because Satan still has access, along with the other angels, to the third heaven, and will until the middle of the tribulation period when he's cast down. But Satan still has access to it. And so the blood of Jesus is now constantly cleansing heaven itself, so that heaven remains a sinless, perfect place. So that's what heaven is like. Another witness is the Apostle John. According to John in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, Revelation 4:1, John was called up to heaven, a door standing open in heaven. Revelation 4:2 and 3, the throne of God the Father is there in heaven. Revelation 4:5, the Holy Spirit is there, the sevenfold Spirit of God. I won't develop that this morning, but we've studied that before. The Holy Spirit is there. Revelation 4:6, a sea of glass or crystal is there around the throne. Revelation 4:6-8, angels are there, the four living creatures. Revelation 5:8 refers to them also, the four living creatures. Revelation 5:11, living creatures and elders, the number of them was myriads and thousands of thousands. So again, myriads of angels are there. Revelation 4:4, believers are there. The 24 elders, believers of this church age. Revelation 4:10, also the 24 elders. Revelation 5:8, the 24 elders. Revelation 5:14, the 24 elders. Believers are there. Revelation 4:9 through 11, there is worship there. Glory and honor are given to the one who sits on the throne. That is what happens in heaven from both angels and believers. Worship and honor are given to the Lord. Revelation 5:1-7, Jesus, God the Son, is there. And thank you to Nate for reading that for us this morning already. So the one who took the book, the scroll out of the hand of the Father, Jesus, God the Son, is there. And Revelation 5:8-12, there is singing. Singing by both believers and angels. And that singing is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. So you practiced singing that this morning already. So, according to John, that's what it's like now. One other eyewitness is Jesus himself. Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 14, he said that he came from heaven and that he was going back there. So he came from heaven and he returned there. John 13:3, Jesus said that he'd come forth from God and was going back to God. So heaven, the third heaven, is where Jesus was in eternity past. And he came from there, and at his ascension, he did what? He went back there. John 16:28, Jesus' Father is there. I came from the Father, I'm leaving again and going to the Father. So it's where Jesus is. It's where his Father is. And John 14:2-3, Jesus is preparing a place for believers there in his Father's house. And he says, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That's a future message. Preparing a place. Hey, what kind of preparation work of this place do you think Jesus does? Think he does well at it? Okay. You think Jesus is preparing for you an inferior, shoddy place? No, Paul said it's very much better. Okay? Now, those are all statements that tell you what it is like in paradise, in the third heaven now. And I hope that you can see the beauty, the glory, the attraction of all of that. Now let's move on to question number 5. Where do unbelievers, the unsaved, of this present age, right now, where do unbelievers go when they physically die? And the answer to that is, it has not changed from the Old Testament. Remember our chart again? We've looked at hell, Abaddon, the pit, torment, all named for the compartment of Sheol, Hades, where human unbelievers went. That didn't move. When Jesus took paradise to the third heaven, he did not take hell anywhere. It's still there. It's still the pit. It's still torment. It's still there. And that's still where all of the unsaved of the Old Testament are. And that is where an unsaved person who dies today goes. And by the way, salvation is by grace through faith. Faith alone, believing on Jesus for your salvation, the forgiveness of sins, justification, eternal life, heaven. You believe on Jesus for that. Those who think they are getting to heaven by trying, by living a good life, by going to church, by having their own religion or philosophy, they are going to find out that's not where they're going. They're going here. They're not going here. They're going here. And that's where unsaved people who die today. And I'll just sadly say it this way. There are a lot more of these people than there are of these people. There are many, 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 many more people all around you all the time who are going to hell when they die than there are those who are going to heaven when they die. And that ought to be a gripping thought. Question number 6. What are the characteristics of hell, also called Abaddon or the pit or torment? What are characteristics of hell now? Okay? Not what will it be in the future. We'll get to that. But right now, Proverbs 7:27, an immoral woman, her house is the way to Sheol, descending into chambers of death. Chambers of death. There is not life in hell. There's existence. There's conscious existence. But it's not life, it's death. It's separation. These chambers are chambers of death. Psalm 116 verse 3. There are terrors, distress, sorrow. Hell is filled with regret. Heaven doesn't have regret. By the way, regret is a complete waste of time and energy. Matthew 13, verse 42. It's a furnace of fire. A furnace of fire. Matthew 25, 30. It is outer darkness. Fire, but not light. Darkness. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. Luke 16, 23 through 25, which we've looked at a number of times now. There is flame, torment, agony, no relief, no hope. That's what unsaved people who die experience in the pit. Torment. Death, terror, distress, sorrow, fire, weeping, gnashing of teeth, flame, torment, agony, no relief, no hope. Okay. Do you have a leaning one direction or another about where you will go if you physically die? By the way, I only say if you physically die because there is a final generation of this church age that is going to be caught up into heaven without dying. That's a future message also. But other than that, it's appointed unto man once to die. So where will you go if you physically die? Where do you want to go By the way, there are only these two options. There's not some third or middle option. Say, well, but what about purgatory or whatever? It's not in the Bible. It's not there. In the Bible, Jesus purged all your sins on the cross. You don't get sins purged by some other place or condition. Where will you go if you physically die? Romans chapter 6 verse 23. Many of you know it well. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you have the free gift of God? Eternal life? Eternal life is paradise. That's where it ends up. It begins now, but that's where it continues. Death is where? Hell. Where will you go? 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. The testimony is this. God has given us, believers, eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has what? The life. He who does not have the Son of God, what? Does not have the life. If you don't have the Son of God, Jesus, you don't have life. You have death. Life is in Jesus. These things I have written to you who what? Believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may what? Know. K-N-O-W. You may know. You may be sure, certain, that you have eternal life now, and that that eternal life will continue in heaven when you die. That is one of the greatest things you can ever know. And 1 John 5:13 says you can know it. You can know it for sure. You can know it for sure. Someone could say, well, you're trying to warn us of the horrors of hell and scare us out of hell. Well, okay, if that would work. I don't know if it would. But do be warned, if you're not saved, you are not going to a better place. You're going to a far worse place where there is no beauty, no joy, no enjoyment, no life, no hope, no relief. only death, separation. By the way, you won't even see demons or Satan there, because the demons that are locked up in Sheol, Hades, are in the abyss. They're not in the pit. They're in the abyss. That's different. So you won't see them there. Say, well, if I go there, I'm going to party with demons. No, you won't. There's death, terror, sorrow, distress, torment, agony, flame, darkness. Are you looking forward to that? Okay. Rather than be warned or frightened by the horrors of hell, my prayer is that you will be drawn by the beauty of Christ, the beauty of heaven, which is wonderfully inexpressible, surpassing greatness, very much better, the city of the living God, angels, believers, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. Do you know, for the first time, when a believer is in heaven, for the first time, you will have a comprehension of the Trinity. Because you will see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three there, and yet all one. You will see it. You know, we all struggle with understanding that even now, don't we? But you'll see it in heaven. Worship, glory, singing, the place that is prepared for you by Jesus. Does the beauty of that, does the beauty of Christ draw you? Is that what you desire? If that's what you desire, you know, that desire is being placed in you by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. And as that desire is there and the Lord works in you through His Word, you are born again. And you find yourself believing on Jesus. Believing on Jesus is the way that you know that you have been born again. And believing on Jesus is the way that you know that you're going to heaven. You know it. So are you being drawn by that? And those who have been drawn and have believed and are saved, is this a continuing desire for you? You know, for the believer, the sting of death has been removed. Believers don't fear death. They don't need to fear death. Because all physical death is, for the believer, is a transfer of the location in which you are living your eternal life. It's life. It's joy. It's beauty. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glories of heaven. Lord, I would pray even now for anyone who has not yet believed, trusting in Jesus Christ to save them and give them the free gift of eternal life. Jesus lived for that, died for that, was buried for that, rose for that, ascended for that, and when people believe him today, he gives them that gift of eternal life, of salvation. Lord, I pray for anyone who would believe upon Jesus for their salvation today. And Lord, I pray for all who have believed already, that Lord, as your word says, we would set our affections on things above, where Christ is. That is where our affections, our joys, our delight, our beauty would be, in heaven, in paradise, with Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.